talking about the spiritual life.
Glory to God.
So, Melanie is our talking spiritual life today. Now that we have some on the, we have some on the
live streaming.
Let me start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because this ties in where we are with the things of the Spirit. I love the fact that Jesus said when he was with his disciples, he says, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Because those disciples were busted up. They were broke up saying, you leave us? Come on back. We've been with you 3.5 years. How are you going to leave us?
Right.
You know, we think we're smart, but we ain't nothing. Right. Jesus, please help us. Jesus said, I'm going to send us the Spirit of truth. Mm. First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Glory to God.
We quote that verse all the time. We sing it in songs. But we also need, Lord Jesus, no, we need to quote, we need to come to the next one, though. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit.
Amen.
Hold up. I haven't seen, ear hasn't heard, heart hasn't comprehended what God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit.
Oh, glory.
That means the Holy Spirit lives within you and I to reveal to us the mysteries of God.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Amen.
He goes on and says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, of the man which is in him?
Right.
Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Amen. So the only way I can know everything that's going on in the 10-power spirit is if his spirit was in me. Right? And vice versa. Well, you and I, Paul says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God.
Amen.
So this precious Holy Spirit, Paul shows us the beauty of the gift of God, which is the person that Jesus said he would send, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The gift that God gives us is himself. The greatest gift that God could ever give us is not a thing. Yeah. It's a person. Yeah. It's who he is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No one is able to merit or earn or obtain this gift through any wisdom or knowledge of their own, but it's received by grace through Christ.
Right.
So as we continue in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul teaches us about this spiritual wife in particular. And then, so in Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we're going to spend the balance of our time.
Okay.
I'll jump around to a few other scriptures, but Paul said this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I saw that. Hey.
Glory to God.
Look here. Submit to your own husband's master. Why did Paul say that?
Yes.
You know, I was reading on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You remember where Paul said that a man shouldn't pray with his head uncovered, but a woman should pray with her head uncovered?
You
ever wonder about that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to explain all of that right now. But I said it to say this, that the writer of the commentary was revealing that the women in Corinth in particular, because they wanted to show that they were equal to the men,
right,
would uncover their heads when they prayed.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So that's what he was talking about, and whether or not it was appropriate for them to pray uncovered.
Huh.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, do we have women trying to show how equal they are to men today? Are they equal to mention that, yes, before God, there's neither male nor female. Okay? But is the function the same? No.
No.
But are they equal to us?
Yes.
Without question.
Yes.
Without question. Matter of fact, I was talking to him. I was putting the car on a Friday morning. You're going to leave the house. And the woman said, she said, what are we doing? She said, oh, that proud fella. I wasn't talking politics.
Right.
I was walking people's house talking politics. I go over people's houses. Yes, ma'am. What do you want done?
Right.
Clean up. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Clean it. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. Clean the check out the door.
Right.
This woman started up. Said, we don't, that other fella. I said, don't start with me, man.
She started it.
No, she did. She started it. And I said to her, I remember saying to her, I don't know why my mind looked, I said, ma'am, and I wasn't trying to patronize her, but I was like, ma'am, I'm so ready for female leadership.
Lord.
I'm so ready for, what was the prime minister, she just stepped down, of New Zealand. 37 years old when she came into office.
Wow.
Took COVID and wrestled it and got the numbers way down. She did a brilliant job.
Wow.
But why did I say that about women in leadership? Because women care. Women.
Thank you.
Women. Women. Right. Women. And I just. Yeah, they're nurturers.
Right, yeah.
They bring you along. They won't leave anybody behind.
Right.
They will take time to spend time with people and really care for people.
Right.
Right? And so, and I was talking to her, and her like, yo, she's like, she said, oh, you understand that? I'm like, she was shocked. I'm like, well, I think I do. I'm like, I think I understand a little bit about it.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
What does the prophet say? The Lord says to the prophet, if a woman could forget her nursing child, then I could forget you, Israel.
Woo!
If a woman could forget her nursing child on her breast, God said, then I could forget you. But we know that's impossible.
Right.
Come on now.
Glory of God.
That's impossible.
The glory of God.
So he said, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord.
Yeah.
I wanna just focus in on that phrase because Paul says it three times. Listen, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to the Lord.
Right.
For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church.
Right.
And he is the Savior. Of the body.
Come on.
Yes, indeed.
Woo.
Jesus went places some guys would dare to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't gonna go there. Well, we will later, but not today. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, those are fighting words right there.
Yes, sir.
20, 30 years ago, I'm talking in the church.
Right.
Those
now.
Words.
Right now.
Hey, who said that? The wife, she be smiling and breathing and the thing. But it, on the inside, she be like, hey, look,
yes,
bring it. I'm not submitting to you, you know? Well, but Paul didn't say that. He said, submit to your husbands as
unto the Lord.
Glory. Okay, so we got submission. We have to focus on one. That's what caused people to get up in their feelings. You know? You know, I'm hot and heavy. When we think about marriage or getting married, we tend to be consumed with what we want in a relationship. That's why submission. If I gotta submit to you and not get what I want, then this ain't gonna work out too well.
No,
that's why submission is so hard. But it seems that Paul would have us focus on Christ and his relationship with his bride.
Come on,
we see this in the Old Testament in Isaiah 54, verse 5, where God, with a prophet, prophesied and said, for your maker is your husband. Your maker is your husband. Maker came first. He made us first.
Yes, he did.
And then he married himself. He came into covenant relationship with Israel. Then, by extension, through Israel to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
Right.
In Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, we read, therefore, the Lord speaking through the prophet, therefore, behold, I will allure her. Talking to myself, I'm reading this. I'm like, oh my goodness, husbands, here it is. Look at, follow the leader, follow your father. He says, I will allure her. Will bring her into the wilderness, will speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor and the door of hope. She shall sing there. I thought, how many wives are singing today because their husband is so good to
them? Come on.
Amen. Your wife singing? Nobody is there. But is your wife singing?
Yeah.
Is she singing or is she saying, oh?
Come on.
Oh, woe is me. No. God says she shall sing there. I thought, oh my goodness, I got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
As in the days of her youth, and in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt, and it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. God said they're going to call him my husband instead of my master.
Lord, come on now.
Come on.
Come on.
Now, if the men were reading that, they're like, I know some men be like, oh no, she need to call me master.
Bro.
Hello? Bro. Hello? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I've been in Christ over 30 years.
Right.
Not all of it as pastor.
Right.
You don't have to see. You don't have to be pastor to discern what goes on in the church by way of marriage.
You're right.
Relationship.
You're right about it.
Hello?
You're right.
Yeah, it will find you.
So
Paul said, as to the Lord, as also Christ, just as the church. So Paul wanted wives to consider the Lord with regard to their submission to their husband. Wives, your willing submission. Notice I say your willing submission to your husband. That's the one who is seen. Okay? Your husband's seen. Your willing submission to your husband is all about willing submission to Christ who is unseen. So then when we get it wrong is we get all of our attention on what is seen. Yeah, on the broke dude. On the one who's tore up from the floor. That's me. That's me. When I say something that hits my right wife the wrong way, she doesn't have to say anything. She just did just a little... Her face just met. I said, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, man, look here. You know me. Look at the husband bowing over there. Yeah, I know. Like, you know, and I'm sitting there like, hey, no, keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on, this is what Paul was saying. Wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord. So, and be willing about it because Christ will not force anyone into submission to himself.
No one.
He's not going to force anyone to submission. Right? Remember the when Simon, Jesus went to eat at Simon's house, and Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, Lord. He said, when I came to your house, you didn't anoint my head at all.
Right.
He said, this woman's been kissing my feet. And, no, she's been anointing my feet. You didn't wash my feet. She's washing my feet with her tears.
Right.
This woman, but then Jesus says this, but also he who is forgiven little loves little.
Woo!
Hard to miss that. He who forgives little loves little. So, for the spirit-filled wife, submission to her husband is submission to Christ out of love and reverence for him. We're going to look at an example in the Old Testament in a second as I close. I'm not closing yet. Just a moment. I said, that's as I close. But I ain't got that. I'm getting there. Thank you. Okay. So for the Christian in marriage, there's a spiritual unseen relationship or a person that our marriage points to. Right? So remember how I said the Old Testament, all the temples in the Old Testament pointed to the New Testament? Well, guess what? New Testament marriage, the Christian's marriage points to another relationship.
Right. Yes, it does.
Points to another relationship.
Yes, it does.
Hello? That's why, so in the Old Testament, the temples were temporal. Why? Because they pointed to the eternal temple. Guess what? Marriage is temporal.
It's temporal.
Why? Because it points
to the eternal.
Get a hold of this.
Right.
Marriage is temporal because it points to when we get into eternity, the relationship with God supersedes every other relationship.
Right.
Therefore, there will be no marriage in heaven. There will be no siring of children and so forth. Why? Because all are going to know him equally.
Right.
And all are going to be, listen, the marriage that we experience now won't be able to hold a candle to what we will experience in Christ and God. Okay. Now, we'll still know each other and all that.
Amen.
But the way we are one in flesh, sexual union, the way we are one now, we're one with Christ in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
For he who is joined unto the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:17, thereabouts, for he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Okay? Now when a man and a woman come together, they're one flesh.
Yeah.
But when we're joined to the Lord, we're one spirit. You can only be one spirit.
Glory.
With one person.
Ah, yeah.
Aha. Makes me want to run.
Lord.
Hey, man, this thing.
Right.
He's so good.
Yes, he is.
He's so good at what he has prepared for us.
Yes, he is.
It cannot be contemplated.
Now,
so Jesus, Paul lays this out, the fact that this marriage points to someone. The Pharisees didn't want to acknowledge God in marriage. They didn't want to acknowledge God's hand, his person, in it. But Jesus made it explicitly unavoidable. He made it very clear. And now, let me say this before we read this passage on divorce. I know Christians have gone through divorce. And if you suffered through divorce, had to go through a traumatic experience like that, let me let you know there is no condemnation here.
To the glory of God.
Never will be. Amen. Divorce exists because sin exists.
Right.
In the human heart.
Amen.
And yet Christ came, he died and rose again.
Yes.
For our sins, reconciled
yes.
us to God, that we might be at peace with God.
Yes.
Be at peace with ourselves.
Yes.
And be at peace with one another.
Yes.
So there's no condemnation. But the Pharisees didn't want to acknowledge. So listen at Matthew chapter 19. They had come to Jesus and they asked Jesus this question. They said, can a man divorce his wife for any reason?
Woo!
For any reason. And Jesus responded in Matthew 19:4, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he, let me tell you what marriage is about. It's about him.
Yes.
It's about him.
To the glory of God.
It's about him.
Amen.
It's not about me. I got to get everything the way I want it. Baby, it's got to be. You listen to me.
Right.
Yeah. You submit to me as my wife. That's what the Bible teaches. And there are Christians, husbands will talk just like that to their wife and expect them to submit. And some women will because of their life experience. Because they've been beat down.
Right.
They don't love.
Oppression.
They've been beat down.
Oppression.
There's some guy who run up on a sister.
Right.
Who he'll say that to, and he will find himself in submission. Sister will jump up and teach him, oh my goodness.
Right.
Ooh, yes, indeed. We're not going to go there today. But Jesus said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, male and female, so Jesus
right.
exalts God first and foremost
yeah,
in talking about marriage and divorce. He exalted his Father as creator and originator and ultimate authority on marriage.
Right.
Now, for the Pharisees to have done the same would have meant that they would have to acknowledge themselves as sinners. You know why? Because they were doing the exact thing they asked Jesus about. Can I divorce my wife for any old reason? That's the side they were on.
Right. Right.
Jesus says no. Verse 5. And he said, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. The one place, one of the places in Scripture where one is better than two. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says the two are better than one. But here, the two become one.
Glory.
He says, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together,
come on,
let not man separate.
Right.
So Jesus goes back to the beginning, reveals the intent and heart of God from the beginning.
Right.
In giving mankind a marriage relationship, Jesus exalts God's creative intent above man.
Yes.
Glory. Yeah. Yeah, above what the Pharisees were thinking, Christ exalts himself and the Father above it all. He forbids man to alter what God has established. Now, though God forbids, that doesn't mean he's going to keep you from doing it.
Right.
No more than he forbade Adam and Eve to eat from the tree,
but
allowed them to eat.
Right, he sure did.
Yes, indeed. So, Go to verse 7. And they said to him, why then did Moses give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? So the Pharisees appeal to the law, to Moses.
Right.
To the book of Exodus. Jesus is appealing to his Father at creation.
Glory.
In the book of Genesis.
Glory.
Before the fall.
Glory.
That's where Jesus goes for marriage.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But the Pharisees are like, yeah, but we know Moses on our side. But Moses said.
Right.
But Moses said.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Verse 8, and he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, or because of the sin.
Right.
Of your heart, in your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so.
That's the word.
Hello.
Break it down.
I was talking to somebody the other day and said, hey, you know, if Adam had divorced Eve, there was nobody for him to marry. Except for one of his daughters or granddaughters. You ever know what I mean? There was no divorce. God didn't make for it. He didn't make provision for it from the beginning. If we look at the created order, he did not put it there. He did not make provision for it. And Jesus now, before these Pharisees, he appeals to the beginning, and then he says, and I say, oh, by the way, I was the one who was in the beginning, who created y'all,
right,
and who established marriage.
Right.
Can you imagine Jesus said that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. We're not teaching on divorce and remarriage today, but that passage of scripture right there, man, I think it'll mess so many people up.
Yeah.
Over the years. Why? Because they don't want to submit to it. You know? What? We love everything Jesus said. But that one right there.
Yeah. It's a hard scripture.
No, hey, he said it.
Yes, sir, he said it.
He said it. You know, and the thing about it is this reality that must always be remembered. Everything that God commands us to do,
right,
in the command is inherent power.
The power to do it.
What he commands you to
do. Glory to God.
Amen. He said that every place that he sends his word,
right,
it shall accomplish that which he pleases,
yes,
and it shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent
it.
God's word has inherent power.
That's why we believe the gospel.
And we believe the gospel of faith.
Yeah.
The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Glory.
And when it's preached, the environment is right for a person to believe the gospel.
Glory, glory, glory.
So, all of that is inherent in his word.
Yeah.
So when God says here, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. That pulls the chain of a Christian man who's thinking, you know what? I done had about enough of this. Hello? Well, to that, and I've counseled people over the years. I'm like, yeah, well, the problem with that is that it would be equal to this. The Father looking down on you and saying, you know what? I done had enough of you. I'm done. I'm out. All your sins are back. Hello? When we get to next week, and it says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Woo!
Come on, brothers.
Come on.
Look, I get the submission part with the women.
That's crazy.
Hey, but let me tell you something. God went light on them. God comes to the man. He comes to the man. When he comes in the garden, we'll get to it next week. But when he comes in the garden, he can say, hey, Eve. Although Eve ate from the tree first. He didn't go, he wasn't looking for Eve. He said, Adam! Adam's like, no. Mm-mm. Hiding amongst the trees. We'll get to it.
Right.
Let me get back to this. So, Jesus, who is the beginning, took the Jews back to the beginning and declared what he meant in the beginning when he made them, when he made marriage.
Right.
Okay? So here's what I would think Paul would want, that I would like for our wives to think of the Lord when they think of responding to us. Let me say that again. I would like for our wives to consider the Lord. when they think about responding to
us.
Because the scripture says, submit to your own husbands as
to the Lord.
See? As to the Lord. And if we could see, Christ above our husband, that's 1 Corinthians 11.
Right.
The head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Right? Amen. So every one of his creation is under authority. Right? So in other words, what goes on in the realm of the spirit in God should be mirrored by what goes on here in the flesh. Now we know that's not the case, but that is what Paul is alluding to here. The book of Ephesians. What does this accomplish? He puts on display God's love for his church.
Right.
That's what Paul says. That when a woman, when a wife submits to her husband,
right,
it is as Christ is also the head of, she submits to him as to the Lord. Christ is the head of the wife and the savior of the body. And thus, husbands are the head of the wife. For what purpose? And you say, any woman, you know, I said years ago, I saw this, Schultz, Charlie Brown cartoon, and the Boy Scouts, all of, you know, Charlie Brown, all of them out in the woods, and they're on a camping trip. And every time they came up to some water, Lucy was there, she would pop up and say, ladies first.
Mm-hmm.
And she would take a drink of water. When you had to live off the land, when they found food, and the boys would pick the food, pick the berries, they get ready to eat. And Lucy would pop up and say, ladies first. And when they went to bunk down at night, everyone put out the tents and made everything, got everything all comfortable, Lucy popped up and said, ladies first. Then they were going through the bush. They were going around the bush, and they went around a corner, and a tiger was there with his mouth wide open. And all the boys turned around and looked at Lucy and said, ladies first. Submission works when it works for us when we want to be submitted, right? Well, but that's not how God ordained it.
Right.
So submission puts on display God's love for his church. To whom? Well, first to one another. Because when you marry it long enough and you know what your spouse had to put up with in you,
come on.
And God's changing the both of you.
Right.
That's the thing about marriage. Is that God's working on the two of you.
And
what the marriage commitment says is that I'm going to stay in it.
Right.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
Until death. What you're actually saying is, I'm going to stay until I die. I told my wife before we got married. I said, now honey, when we get married, I said, the only way you get out is you die or I die. That's it. I ain't joking. That's what I thought. I said, because I ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Look here.
Look,
you die or I die. That's the book. Read the book. What does it say? Right? Hey.
Glory to God.
So it first reveals God's love for his church. It first reveals it to us. Because a newsflash, you change as you get older.
Yes, you do.
The person you married on your marriage day
is not that person.
No, that person is
God.
Oh, yeah. Woo! What day you going to wake up and go?
Who is this?
Huh? What? But see, then you understand why Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ
loved
the church.
Yes.
He gave himself
for her.
Now Jesus, now Paul is teaching what Jesus said
in
John chapter 16 when he said this, no greater love than this than a man has for his friend than to lay down his life for his friend.
Yes.
He said, now, if I lay down my life for you, this is what Jesus said, you ought to lay down your lives for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that start first?
At home.
Marriage.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Starts first in marriage.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
But today, if you've got a loan, hey, we go ahead and talk. Hey, sign this
right here.
You know, just in case.
Keep that loan. You gotta keep that.
There ain't no just in case. That's a God thing.
So
it first comes to the couple, then to the children, family, extended family, to the church, and to the world.
Right.
About a couple that remains committed to one another in Christ.
Right.
What does this submission look like, wives, or today, our precious Melody?
Glory to God.
I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, you have time, you need to read 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'm going to turn to it. Now, the context of 1 Samuel chapter 25 is because we're gonna look at a submissive wife. The context is you have this man named Nabal. Nabal means his name means a fool. He's a scout. Okay, this man, he's at odds with everyone and with himself. So the context is when David and his men were running from Saul, they were in the mountains and they took care of Nabal and his sheep. This man says he was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats.
Right.
David protected them all while they were in the desert, in the wilderness. So sheep shearing time came. That was a feast. Whenever they sheared sheep, it was a feast day. And David heard that they were going to have this feast. And David said to his men, he said, hey, go let Nabal know, look, we took care of him all the time in the wilderness.
Yeah.
You got a feast? Could you just give some? Whatever you want to give to my men as a thank you gift. You know, give them appreciation. Well, Nabal cursed him out. Cursed out David's 10 men.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Said, oh, and by the way, Nabal was from the tribe of Caleb. Caleb was in the house of Caleb. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, and David was from the tribe of Judah. So Nabal is talking to David.
Right.
Like he's dirt, like he don't even matter. He's his brother.
Right.
He's literally his brother. And David responds, no, let me pick up verse 14. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, how Nabal, his master, responded to David's men.
Right.
Why did this young man tell it to Abigail? Because he couldn't say anything to Nabal.
Right.
Why? Because Nabal was a fool.
Right.
Nabal was the type of man who would cuss you out if he didn't get his way. That's who Nabal was. And he said, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When they were in the fields, they were a wall to us, both by night and day. Mm-hmm. All the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household. So here you have a situation where the husband and God himself is in such a situation where somebody is about to come and kill.
Drop a dude.
Like David said, we're going to kill all the men. That's what they would do. Take the women and kill all the men. And David's about to avenge himself, and Nabal had got himself in this circumstance. You know, it was some sad business on, if I mention the name of the many of you will go, oh, I'm not going to mention the name, but it was a well-known pastor on YouTube a few years ago talking about how his failures were so great, but that his wife was so good that he was growing up under her, and that she was causing him to come into his manhood.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And some people began to comment on that and said, you know what, Pastor, you jacked up. Plenty of women wrote in and said, yeah, but we don't exist to raise little boys.
Right.
We're supposed to marry a man.
Right.
So when you're talking about she's causing you to grow up and mature into manhood,
right,
bro, you need to fix that.
Right.
Well, this is the situation that Abigail's dealing with. She's got this man. Every time he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in. He's immature. He's inconsiderate. He's mean. He's wicked. Right? And so now the servant comes to her and says, look, it's about to go down. And this woman, I thought to myself, why, what will you do when your husband is unable or won't do what is necessary to save the family? What will you do when your husband is unable or won't do what is necessary to save the family? Because that's the situation right here. And Abigail. And you don't hear Abigail talk on much. You don't hear, you know, her women come to see the brochure or the syllabus or whatever. And you don't hear Abigail a whole lot. They do. People do teach on it. But, so, the man says, look, do something because our whole household is in jeopardy, for he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him. This is how bad off this man was. Now, listen, Abigail, come on, Abigail could have gone, jumped on a donkey, and said, hey, it's time to go to the next town. I feel like I'm go shopping over next door. She could have done that, but she didn't. She could have ran and saved herself, but she didn't. Every husband would do well to have a wife like Abigail. And so Abigail, let me just say this. We would be do good to have a wife like Abigail. However, women are tired of having to save their husbands' necks because they are inconsiderate, wicked, and stupid. Mm. Strong words, aren't they?
Yeah,
but it applies.
It does.
It applies.
It does.
Yeah. And it applies to, sadly, to some men in Christ. I've seen it, both as a pastor and not as a pastor. I've seen it. And you have too. Abigail knew her husband's strength, his weaknesses, and his sins. Verse 18, we read this. Then Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seers of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, go on before me, I'm coming after you. But she did not tell her husband. And we're talking about the submissive wife. Her husband didn't want to give David anything, but her husband doesn't know. David fixing my country, John. David fixing to come and kill you. So, was Abigail submissive to her husband? Was she submissive to her husband when she did what she did? I just remember what she did. She went and got loaves, wine, all of this stuff, loaded up on donkeys, and she's going to David. Was she submissive? And I would say she certainly was. Notice she didn't go and give her husband a whole lot of lip.
He deserved it.
You good for nothing. You better than nothing. I know some sisters who would break it down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she didn't go there.
No, she did.
She did what was necessary. See, all that's not necessary. What she did was she took steps to save the household. Because David, as we'll see, David said, every man put on his sword. David clapped on his head and said, we're about to go get down.
Right.
And he said, by the morning, ain't a male gonna be alive amongst these fellas.
Right.
And you know David could do it. David was not to be fooled with. Okay? Now, so you have this wife of this man who simply did what was necessary to address the situation. Was she submitted to her husband, even though she didn't tell him what he was doing? Yes, she was submitted. Because she had the power to do exactly what she did, even if he wouldn't agree with it at the time. Because I bet you if she just sent him up and said, hey, as a matter of fact, she does do this. She tells her husband eventually. She tells her husband what happened. Now I'm sure her husband would have said, if you about to kill, you about to kill all of us? Baby, you did the right thing. How do you do the right thing?
Right.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, she was submitted. Why? Because she was saving the entire household in her actions. Verse 20, so it was, as she rolled up the donkey, that she went down under the cover of the hill, hiding from her husband, as it were. She goes down, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him.
Right.
And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. In other words, David said, I'm going to go kill all the men. I'm going to get vengeance for myself. But how many of you know that the scripture says, vengeance is mine? I will repay. Avenge not yourselves. But David is in the heat of emotion. And he wants to avenge himself.
Right.
This woman, Abigail, something. This now before this had happened, Saul is chasing David around the mountains, and Saul went into a cave to relieve himself, and David and his men were in the cave, and David could have rose up and killed Saul. But David said, I won't do that. I will not strike the Lord's anointed, is what David said. So David was submitted to God. He was under God. He in the fear of God, he would not strike down his master.
Right.
Right? Where in Star Wars with the Jedi's or with the dark side, that's how you got more power, is when you struck down your master. Is that how? I need to hear that. Anyhow, First Samuel 24, David said this, the Lord judge between you and me, speaking to Saul when he was, after he had let him go out of the cave. The Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you.
Right.
David knew that God was the one who would avenge him. But in this particular point, David is so angry. Yeah. He's so mad that he wants to avenge himself.
Right.
He tells Saul, but my hand shall not be against you. He himself has a Nabal. He's on Nabal going down. Nabal is going down. Yes, indeed. Psalm 94 and verse 1, we read this though. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs. O God, to whom vengeance belongs.
Right.
Shine forth. That whole psalm is talking about God's vengeance.
Right.
And how we are to wait and let God avenge us. And man, you talk about a painful thing. You talk about something where you have to talk about submission.
Right.
Submission. Try that. Yes, as the church of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, the scripture goes on and says, verse 23, now when Abigail saw David, she just mounted quickly from her donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. She fell at his feet. Yes. So the one who was submitted to her husband now submitted to David, as she humbles herself before him. On me, my Lord, let this iniquity be, and please let your maidservant speak in your ears to hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. She's talking about her husband.
Right.
what I love about it is that Abigail was not going to deny who her husband was. She said he's a scoundrel. Hello. Look, why? Why was it? She ain't pretty and made up, made it cute. No, why? Because she can't make you what he is. And she was speaking before the Lord. And she said to David, please let now my Lord regard this scoundrel. Talking about her husband, acknowledging her husband's and not denying her husband's own wickedness. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him.
Whoa.
But I, the maidservant, did not see the young men. The young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord... Listen at this. This is where, Abigail, this woman, she's talking to the future king of Israel. The one to whom the promise will come that God will establish her house, so forth and so on. She says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed, the Lord has held you back. Has the Lord ever held you back from home? Mm-hmm. Well, he's doing it through Abigail. He's doing it through a submitted wife this day. The Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself. Abigail discerned of God what David discerned of God. David understood that God kept him from killing Saul in the cave. Abigail understands now that God is keeping David from killing Nabal.
Right.
And she said this to David. Now, sure, David's like, who is this? Who is this? Not only that, she knew God's word. Deuteronomy 32:35 is where God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. She knew that. She says, God has kept you from avenging yourself with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies be as those who seek the harm of my Lord, be as Nabal. Foolish, powerless, and of no consequence. Now, I don't know what to think of that, I guess. She said, may all your enemies be as my husband. I was like, ooh, my goodness. She submitted, though. And I don't know, some people know, some people say, well, she's not prophesying. It seems like she is. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. Abigail takes upon herself the trespass of her husband.
Yes, she did.
In order to save everybody.
Yes.
Let me say that again. She takes upon herself the trespass of her husband to save everybody. If that is not love one another sacrificially, I don't know what is. But guess what? In marriage, it's going to call for sacrificial love. You know what they said before? You know, when you get married, this person brings 50%, this person brings 50%, you have 100%.
Wrong.
Let me ask you something. What did you and I bring to our relationship with God?
100%. Zero.
Not only zero, negative. We didn't bring anything. God did it all. God did it all, and he keeps doing it all.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. I mean, because the church is what it is, not because of us, but in spite of us. God saved the people. God saved the people in spite of who we are.
Right.
Not because we're so great. My. So she says, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. She's actually seen David as king of Israel. She's saying it. Now people have said that before when he killed Goliath. People saw that, what the Lord was doing. And they confessed that she's doing the same. Because my Lord fights the Lord's battles, and evil is not found in you throughout all your days, yet a man has risen to pursue your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound up in the bundle of living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies shall be slung out as from the pocket of a sling. Let me jump down to verse 32 as I wrap this up. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. So now David sees this submitted wife. David sees her as being sent by God. In other words, God had his hand in all of this.
Yes, he did.
He had his hand in all of it. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you. So he blessed the Lord, he blessed her twice, and said this, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed, and from avenging myself with my own hand. He ascribed that to her. Obviously, the Lord sent her, but he did it. God did it, but he did it through her. This submitted wife. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you. If David had gone and done what he had planned, for those of you who know the story, he would have killed one of his future wives. Because he married his wife. And we always want what we want. So many times God's moving in our life to keep us back from what we want because what he has prepared for us. You don't want what you want. You don't want what you want. No, you want what God has prepared for you.
Right.
That's what happened here with David, and it happened because of a submitted wife. A wife who was submitted to her husband who was submitted to God. He said, the Lord has kept me back from hurting you. Unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by the morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal.
Good.
And this is the closing, somewhat of the closing of it. Not all of it, but you can go read it for yourself. Verse 36. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, and he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until the morning light.
Right.
Okay, now let me say this. When I read that, I thought to myself, let me ask you, what wife laid down her life for the whole family, delivered the whole family, while her husband was off drinking and partying? What wife doesn't come to him and say, hey, I saved us today. I want you to know. Get up, you drunks, and listen here.
I think of,
no, you don't wait till the next morning.
You gonna tell him everything you did.
And then you say, oh no, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Abigail doesn't say anything to the man.
I mean, when we think out, when we say our team is gonna win the game, and then when we get on Facebook, right. And like, ha, I was right, lucky we won.
Come on now.
Right.
This woman saved the entire household.
Right.
She didn't say anything. Oh, you talk about submitting. You talk about submission. Humbling herself. Verse 37, so it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Some believe he went into a coma. What happened? He went into some comatose state. And the scripture says, then it happened after 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. He died. Okay. And now let me first say, because people always say, well, I thought God was a God of love. It says he struck Nabal. Yeah. Do we love? Are we all love? Do we kill people? Please. But the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the people and those that dwell therein. God struck Ananias and Sapphira too. I tell you, I'll be the last one to say, yo, God, someone's, if the Bible says God struck someone dead, I'll be the last one to say, God is a righteous in what he did. Oh no, God is God. And what he does in righteousness. And apparently, Nabal deserved what he got. Because who can say to him, what are you doing? You can try it. After 10 days, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Well, David ends up, when he finds out Nabal is dead, he sends his men to Abigail and says, and proposes to her, and she accepted. So David married Abigail, Nabal's wife. The spirit-filled wife submits herself to her husband as she submits herself to the Lord, and great things are accomplished because of it. Amen? Let's stand.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, O God, even for the part we don't understand, O Lord.
And even at times find a heart to accept.
Yes, Lord. Yet you are God.
You are God.
You created us and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. That's what I said. Yeah, we didn't create anything. We don't sustain anything, O God. You sustain our very life. Every heartbeat.
You alone.
Oh my God, you sustain it. And so, Lord, as your church, Lord, as your people, may we respond in submitting ourselves to Christ on the daily, O God. Lord, and our wives, Lord, may they submit, O God, according to your will. Lord, as unto the Lord, that their eyes will be filled and fixed on Jesus, O God, and not on the husbands of flesh, Lord. And oftentimes, we get it so wrong.
Yes.
Lord, may they remain submitted and committed to you, oh God, and will bring glory to your name through the midst of it all. Mm-hmm. Lord, have your way in our hearts, oh God. Have your way in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships, oh God. Fix our perspectives. Fix our expectations.
Yes.
Lord, that we, that our hope and all of our trust and our expectation would be in the Lord. And that we would not have unrealistic expectations of our spouse. We submit it all to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.